called in.
Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Bonnie James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello, this is Talking Smooth Jazz. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz. This is your host, the Jazz Queen, Mike Reynolds. How are you?
I'm doing great today, Terry. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine. You're watching football, I'm sure.
Yes, I am watching football. I'm supposed to be getting ready to go and see Brian Culbertson at the Rams Head Tavern, but I think I'm not going to go and see Brian today because the Redskins and the Cowboys are on tonight, and I do not want to miss any minute of that. So, Brian Culbertson, I am sorry, okay? I'm not going to see Brian tonight. No siree. No.
Brandon, this is what I have to go through every football season. I go through this every football season.
Oh, it's a necessity.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right. So, well, thank you for calling in, Mike. That's all I have to say. All righty. Our guest today is flutist Brandon Marcel. He is a composer, an arranger, and songwriter. And he was Atlanta's Future of Jazz finalist. His CD is called More Than Music, and it ranges from hip-hop, classical, and jazz. Brandon Marcel, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thank you very much for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
Okay, so let's get the football talk out of the way first. Brandon, who is your team?
Well, I'm from Michigan, born and raised, so I'm definitely a diehard Detroit Lions fan. They just kind of upset me a little while ago going into the half. I thought this was going to be a different season this year, and with just a minute to go, it seems like it might be the same thing going on. So we'll pray for them.
And what did you do at halftime?
I had to turn the TV off for a little bit.
Did you hear that, Mike? He turned the TV off. Did you hear that?
That's because he's praying, okay? He's praying for his team. See, he has a bad team to root for, so he has to turn the TV off and pray that when he turns it back on, the score is different.
And I told him, Mike, that you are a diehard Cowboys fan.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Diehard. Okay. And when are they playing? Are they playing today?
Yeah, they're playing tonight.
See, this is see his attention span is.
They got a little game today.
Yeah,
they played a little somebody.
Okay, all righty, all right. So Brandon, again, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz. Let's start with how would you describe your music?
I would put it in. I was going with a title for a while. You know, I'm a big Bob Baldwin fan, and he has he came up with New Urban Jazz. And I kind of feel that title and that music. I don't really want to label the music, but it definitely is that new more sound, new face of jazz sound. I heard in the interview you had with Ryan Kilgore a while back, changing the face of jazz. So I have more of an R&B, hip-hop vibe sound. You know, I was born in the late 70s and grew up in the 80s when hip-hop was coming alive, and definitely was into hip-hop and R&B growing up and starting to play instruments and whatnot. That was definitely the kind of vibe that I've always stuck to and wanted to actually be able to produce on my instruments.
Okay.
Mm. Now, all right. You never actually had any formal lessons at all on the flute, have you?
No, not really. I actually began flute maybe in, I probably picked it up for the first time in fifth or sixth grade and just maybe played around with it one summer, but I actually began with it in seventh grade at our middle school here and played for a couple years there in middle school with the junior high band and the varsity bands and the marching bands and whatnot, and definitely enjoyed the instrument, loved the sound, and knew it was definitely unique. Got a little flack for it, you know, because most of the guys are playing the trumpets and the saxophones and the drums, and here you are playing the flute, sometimes picking up the piccolo. So back in the day, I was taking a little flack for, you know, playing the flute, like, why are you on this instrument? But the flip side of it now, it definitely stands out in the crowd when I go play at the open mics or doing the different shows. So just kept wanting to play it. You know, I started there in middle school, like I said, and I just had a desire to play it. Always loved music and loved live instrumentation. And, you know, growing up, you know, I was definitely in the church growing up, so they'd have different musicians coming in and, you know, the sax players and the live guitar players. So seeing those live musicians play just always, you know, fed my need to, you know, want to get down on my own instrument. So choosing the flute, I was like, hey, let's take off with this.
And now, share the story of how you actually came to play the flute.
Well, when I actually began, you know, my family is a lot of my family members play music. My father really kept us on instruments starting out. So I actually began playing when I was young. I played piano for maybe a couple years, maybe first or second grade, and put that away. But I went to private school. I went to private school growing up through elementary. So when we got over into the switched over to public schools, maybe in fifth or sixth grade, and was offered more music and different things like that. So my brother is 3 years older than me, and he actually began in the middle school playing the saxophone, and they were in marching band. So that was very exciting to me to see someone, you know, on the saxophone in the house running around. I mean, my dad is a sax player, but my brother, you know, is close, you know, and he's playing saxophone. So there had always been a flute in our closet, and I'd always picked it up and played around with it here and there. But there was a flute in the closet, an old Artley flute, I believe, when my aunt played it. My father had kept hold of it over the years. Some of the keys worked, some of them didn't, but I would always pick it up because he'd be marching around with his saxophone. I was probably about in the fifth grade or so, and he was in the eighth. So I started to pick it up and play around with it a little bit then and there, and wanting to be in the marching band and just wanting to have an instrument that I could move around with, because at the time, actually, I was playing cello.
Mm-hmm.
So sitting and playing cello, you know, in the fifth grade, sitting and playing cello. I play several instruments, you know, I'll just go ahead. I play pretty much all the woodwinds, but I began on the cello in the fifth grade and with the strings programs in the public schools there. And so that's from the story of, you know, playing the cello for all these years and being stationary to my brother moving around on the saxophone and finding a flute that I can move around on. It wasn't that I was just so in love with the flute at that time, but it was an instrument that I said, hey, I can pick this thing up and run around with it like him. So that was where it all began.
I read a line in an interview where you said all the other flute players were girls sitting in the front row.
Well, that didn't hurt. Yeah, playing flute, you know, I was used to being you know, with the cello, you know, being on kind of the edge, and in the front, you know, the cello seat, our sat in the orchestra. So sitting in the front row, switching off in the band with the ladies was definitely a plus.
Okay, let me give out the phone number. If you would like to call in and speak with Brandon, the number is 646-716-5485. You can join us in the chat room along with Cheryl, Joe from Germany, Seeing Heart, and two of guests by going to talkingsmoothjazz.com, clicking on the TSJ Radio Show page, and then the play chat button underneath the show name. So welcome to those in the chat room. If you have any questions for Brandon, please feel free to post, and I will pass those on. Now, you mentioned Mike Phillips before. How has he influenced you? And I also read that Najee was one of your influences as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, growing up, Najee was definitely a huge influence. Well, my father was definitely a huge Najee fan, and so that's just that's an artist that was always in the player, always in the car, always around. So I knew how an instrument could sound and what could happen on the instrument. Mike Phillips was a huge influence. When I really got playing and really got going, maybe about 2001, I moved from Jackson, Michigan. I moved down to Atlanta, Georgia. And I started Morehouse College there in Atlanta, and I was in the marching band there, and it was just an exciting time for me to be in school and to be in band. I was actually an older student at the time. I was about 24, heading down there, and just playing with other students and being in the scene of, you know, playing lots of music that was R&B and jazz and hip-hop and everything all at once was definitely really exciting. So, coming to class one day, someone had the Unwrapped Volume 1 playing in the band room, and I got to hear, I think it was the song Forgot About Dre at the time that Mike Phillips and a violin player played. And when I heard that track in that band room that day, I probably played it about 10 times in a row because I said, wait a minute, this is what can happen on an instrument. This is what you can do. I mean, I just loved how he was just using the complete instrument, you know, going up and down, in and out, and just you could tell that he had really mastered this instrument and enjoyed playing it. So that was definitely a scene, and at that moment I can say that was really one of the moments that really inspired me to say, hey, you need to practice, and you need to practice, and this is definitely, you know, this is what you wanted. This is it right here.
I wanted to, with that,
you know, has being in Atlanta, not playing college, but being in Atlanta, has it opened up more opportunities for you versus if you think you were to stay back in Detroit?
It definitely did, and I'm actually back in Michigan at the time, at the moment right now, and I can definitely say Atlanta definitely opened up more opportunities and just awakened me more in general. Just because of the, it's just a huge city. When I first made it down to Atlanta in 2001, that was really my first time really making it to a really huge city, and really first time being on my own completely and handling everything completely on my own. So when I got down there and exited from the university and actually dove off into the city and tried to see, hey, what's going on here, and stopped by jazz clubs and whatnot, I said, man, this is a scene down here where there's jazz clubs and lounges and places for musicians to go out and play. And I mean, every night there's a different place to play, and there's that people out listening and participating. And it was just such a live scene there that I said, hey, it was definitely a place that, you know, awakened my whole spirit of wanting to be a performer.
Okay. I have a phone call for you. Area code 416. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hey, Brandon. It's Nancy from Toronto, Canada calling.
Hi, Nancy. How you doing?
Hi, Nancy. Hey, thanks for letting me call in. And I just wanted to say I found you actually through David Cash. And
okay.
I kind of wish we had a guy like you playing flute with us in our band in high school. Really would have been a lot better. Because you take the flute to new levels that I have never, ever heard.
Mm. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I mean, that's really how I really appreciate that, because playing flute and listening to different artists, you know, I have lots of artists that have played the flute in the past that I've heard and I mimic and that I listen to. And I've always tried to push the envelope on the flute. I've always kind of taken my back to the wall kind of attitude when I'm playing in a way, is because I don't think the flute is heard as often as it could be. And so I really try to play the instrument in a way where it can be seen more aggressive as opposed to just, you know, a laid back, relaxed instrument.
Well, I think you do that, because I think you really are pushing it. And that's one reason why I've fallen in love with your music. And I mean, I'm pretty picky when it comes to jazz. I grew up, my dad used to send me to sleep with Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald singing downstairs in the living room. And the flute is, I think, an underrated instrument.
Yeah.
And it's, and it's not heard a lot. And it's one of the instruments I really, really enjoy. I also work with children with special needs and children with visual impairments or are blind. And I got to tell you, one little guy really loves your music. I play it for him all the time.
I appreciate that. That makes me feel very, very good.
Well, he has strong behavioral issues, and music is one of the things we found really calms him. And so I thank you for that, because it's really, really helped, and you're really making a difference in his life.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, that is so nice.
I actually have played at here in Jackson. There's a school, Lyle Torrent, who caters towards the impaired, and I go and play there. Play there actually once before, and I'm going to be playing there, I believe, next month sometime. And it's almost like someone's reading to me from a script when I get different compliments or different comments from listeners, because I get the same, sometimes I get the exact same phrases and words, and it's kind of shockingly odd, because so many people really, and that's what I'm glad that it's getting out there, that see the flute as being a soothing, kind of relaxing instrument, and I've realized that it kind of does that no matter what genre it's played in, you know. If I play over even rock and roll, it kind of even smooths that song out, so I'm just glad that it's helping that little guy out there.
Well, you are. You really are. So I don't want to take up any more of your time, but thanks, Brandon, and have a great show, guys.
Thank you,
Nancy. Bye-bye. All right. That was nice. That was very nice for her to call in. Thank you so much, Nancy. All right, so let's get to some music. Now, I was telling Brandon that I heard the song that I'm going to play, Champagne Life. I heard this song the other day, and you told me it's done by Neil.
Yes, it is. And it's actually, a song by Neil. I believe this is a song that he has out basically right now. And that's what I've been trying to do to really promote myself and promote the instrument, is play over the songs that I know are some hits, definitely songs that I personally enjoy, and just give my take on them.
Okay. And is this from the CD More Than Music?
This is actually from a promotional CD that I've been passing out at different shows that I've actually released, so I just kind of call it like a flute remixes volume 2.
Okay, all right. This is Champagne Life.
Yes. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be a beautiful night. Bring up champagne. Everybody get a glass. I go by the name of Brandon Marquez. I just want you to sit back and relax. Let's prepare something for tonight. Is that all right?
like that. I like that. That is Brandon's cover of Neo's A Champagne Life. Very nice.
Thank you. Very nice.
Mm-hmm. And so now tell us about the Flute Remixes Volume 2.
Really with the CD, I tried to go ahead and, you know, put something out there that I knew was already music that was out there that everyone enjoyed, and really put a promotional CD out that could really showcase more of what I was about and the sound that I really would like to have out there as an artist. So I really worked on songs that were, you know, just current and out there right now. I tried to take the take of more of an unwrapped how Hidden Beach Records has done it, and really to showcase more of the flute, though, showcase the instrument and really just show, you know, again, just, you know, showcase myself and what the instrument can, what I can do on that instrument. So the Flute Volume 2, I just finished that up at the end of the summer, maybe around August 10th or 11th was when I finished it up and started releasing it. So had fun making that.
Okay. And then is the Volume 1, Flute Remixes Volume 1, Body and Soul, is that still available?
Oh, yeah, that's still available, and it's similar to Volume 2, again, but it's more of a relaxed set, more of an R&B kind of a vibe. And, again, it's really just trying to showcase myself in the instrument. Really with flute, I found, you know, I go out on a lot of different, you know, as an independent artist, you know, you submit for different festivals, you submit to try to go on different tours and have different activities, and again, the flute is usually used as a doubling instrument. It's really not that number one instrument that someone's saying, hey, we're looking for a flute player. So it's kind of a hard road. It's kind of has been a hard road, I should say, to kind of go ahead with the flute and say, hey, this is my primary instrument, and I'm going to go ahead and take this out there and run with it. So really with these albums that I've been producing myself and trying to promote with promoters to really try to get it out there, to you know, let it be known that, hey, this instrument isn't just the quiet little, you know, toot-toot-toot in the front of the orchestra, but this is an instrument that, you know, has been on the scene before. You know, one of my favorite artists is Bobbi Humphrey, and like her music and all that was going on through the 70s, 80s, and still today. And so other artists like Nestor Torres and Alexander Zajac right here in Detroit. So it's just me trying to really showcase myself and say, hey, I'm a flautist, and hey, I'm over here. Look at me.
Look at, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, really. Now, being that you're doing, you know, covers of songs like Champagne Life, and I know some of the rap songs as well, how have you been received by the younger crowd? That, you know, or has that, was that even planned for you when you started doing that to try to grab a younger audience?
It wasn't so much planned to grab an younger audience, but it has definitely grabbed a younger audience, and I have an awesome reception with the younger audience and crowd. Kind of an odd reception as a way, because, you know, a lot of the folks that you say, hey, I've just been strictly into the R&B or strictly into the hip hop and the rap. And when I come out and I'm playing at venues where, you know, there hasn't been an instrumentalist here, you know, and they weren't looking for one either, but I come out and it's a rapper, and then a flutist comes out to play a song. It's like, hey, what's going on? But within moments, everyone's really into it. I've gotten well received. So the younger audience has definitely taken hold of it. They definitely enjoy it. I get so many, you know, I post various YouTubes, and I get so many different comments of, where are these notes at, and how can I play these notes, and can you send me the notes to this? I'm like, hey, I haven't written any notes to this. You know, I'm playing, picking up different things by ear, but I think it's definitely causing a little commotion and a little scene with other flute players and younger instrumentalists that are saying, hey, you know, here's another guy that's, you know, coming out playing this instrument and, you know, playing the R&B and the hip-hop and playing different things outside of just the regular band and orchestra music, you know, and I'd like to do that too. So that's definitely the response I wanted to get, and I'm glad I'm getting that.
Now, you've done a cover of Ludacris' One More Drink, Kanye West's Heartless, and Alicia Keys' Butterflies. How have they how do I want to put this? How has the hip-hop community received you? Has anyone contacted you about, you know, working with you or doing more of their music?
I haven't received any contacts as of yet. You know, I would love to,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't received, and again, that's why I'm so very thankful that, you know, you've invited me on the show today, because it's a hard road. You know, I'd like to definitely mention, you know, and I'm sure all the independent artists out there know to break in and really get noticed and really get heard, and not so much for the fame, but just for the enjoyment of progressing your career and building your brand and, you know, building your own steady knowledge in an industry. So it's definitely a hard road, and definitely as a flautist, you know, I'm sure other people have their ways that they have to get it going, but that's what these CDs are for, is to try to build some promotion. So I've been trying to, you know, Facebook it, YouTube it, and just get it out there, and definitely through venues like yours here with Talking Smooth Jazz. Hopefully something will happen soon.
Well, let me just give out your website address, because you definitely need to go and check him out. It's Brandon Marcel, and it's M as in Mary, ARCEAL.com. Check out some of his music. On Facebook, on his page on Facebook, there's also a mixtape 2010 video, which is really nice. So tell me about that one.
Yeah, I just put a little compilation of the songs that are on Volume 2 together to just get the information out there, to get some folks seeing what's going on. So kind of grabbed, you know, in this day and age, it's really, the Internet is a beautiful place sometimes. Definitely for an independent artist, where, you know, you can grab pictures and grab photos and get songs and connect with other artists and musicians out there and kind of blog and get some things together. So just trying to put different forms of media out there, video, audio, everything that I can possibly do to, get this flute heard and get myself out there.
Well, I think you do beautiful music, and I want to play another song, The Lady in My Life. Tell me about this one.
Mm-hmm.
The Lady in My Life, this is definitely one of my most favorites. Michael Jackson was definitely a huge, huge part of, I know, in everyone's different, you know, various careers, but definitely growing up, you know, Michael Jackson was definitely a part of my music world, you know, listening and watching videos and playing music and all. I've always enjoyed that music. So this song, The Lady in My Life, after his passing, I actually heard the song on one of the music shows, maybe the Grammys or one of the memorial shows. One of the singers played it, had sung it, and I said, "Hey, wait a minute, there's that song that I love so much." So I went out and found it and just went in the studio one day and recorded it myself. So it's just definitely a song that I've always enjoyed and always loved, and just put my take on the song.
All right, this is The Lady in My Life.
Thank you.
absolutely beautiful. Oh, my gosh. That is just beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I have a phone. Let me take this phone call, Mike, before you get to your question. Area code 240, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Good afternoon. Peace and blessings, and thank you for taking my call. I'm coming into the show a little late, so can everyone hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yes. What's your name?
My name is Arthur. I'm out of Washington, D.C. I've been listening to Brandon here for a few years, and if I ask a question, I just have a question, and like I said, I'm coming into the show a little late. I apologize, but I wanted to ask Brandon, your music is so beautiful, but I have this feeling that jazz music is slowly fading away. And I want to know if you have any insight on how we could help bring it back.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Thanks for calling in, Arthur. I feel that publicly, you know, maybe more in the mainstream eyes, it may seem that it's fading away, but, I mean, there are definitely lots of venues and artists out there that are keeping this jazz thing definitely alive. I know actually here on the show, an interview I've referred to earlier, the Ryan Kilgore, there's different things they're doing with changing the face of jazz, Mike Phillips, and just the different whole vibes of the music that are coming out now. I think we are getting a little closer to, you know, what the more young folks are into. Not saying that we're just catering to young folks, but just more into what everyday music is doing. I mean, the whole sound of the music has evolved. Every time, you know, it's been. I think it's just the way we've been delivering it. You know, we kind of say the grown and sexy and the smooth jazz, and we kind of. I feel that we put it on this kind of a shelf that says it's different than, you know, the jazz, then R&B or hip hop or rock and roll or country, and this is this totally artistic thing that, you know, if you're not into music, you're not going to know about it. But I think just by playing some, by just actually getting it out there, you know, by getting it on radio stations and internet radio and television and just allowing it to be heard, you know, I think that's really what's needed.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. If I may ask another question, and I like it. You have a really positive vibe, Brandon, and you help me see, you know, and think in ways that that our next generation should. But my last question for you: what is your favorite part of the music business?
So far, it's actually. Since I haven't gotten into all of the areas, so far I would definitely say it's actually, you know, the live performance. When I'm actually, when I'm able to play at any venue, whether it be a local elementary school or in the park or just on the street, to be able to go out and perform and to put a piece of myself out there and actually get a response from the listener that is saying, hey, you have really moved me or touched me or put me in this place that, you know, that you were able to do with this music is what is the most exciting part and the part that keeps me, you know, doing this. You know, of course, I'm 33 years old. I've been playing for almost 20 years now, and I'm not touring around the world or anything like that. I would love to one day, but just every day, just in my own community playing and seeing those eyes back at me as I'm playing, that's definitely the most fulfilling part.
Outstanding.
All right.
Well,
thank you, Arthur, for the call.
And peace and blessings to you guys. Keep it going, Brandon.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yes,
have a good day. All right. So, Brandon, I wanted to let you know that the chat room really loved the song that we just played, Lady in My Life. Oh, my God, that was so beautiful. So beautiful.
Thanks. Yeah, that song, I'm telling you, like I said, Michael Jackson was definitely a huge influence, and that's a song that you know, it's not hard to play, you know, for, you know, as musicians, when you, when you're feeling the music and it's a song that, that, that has some meaning to you, it's easy to come out. So I actually released that one on this Volume 2 promotional CD. So that was actually one of the ones that I've just completed this past summer.
Okay. All right. Okay, so, Mike, you had a question.
I was going to ask Brennan about Idlewild. I read that you had a song that was played in the movie Idlewild.
Oh, yeah, I had the opportunity when I was in Atlanta. I actually, you know, born and raised here in Jackson, Michigan, and left to head on down to Atlanta in 2001. So for some reason, I have this odd way of running into two people in different positions of power, I should say. So I was at a guitar center, you know, just shopping around, trying to look for some equipment and or whatnot, and I ran into the director of the movie, Brian Barber, who wrote and directed the movie. I actually ran to his brother, and his brother was opening a studio there in Atlanta, and they were doing work and going back and forth from the set at the time. This was probably in 2005 or so, and became good friends with his brother. That would be Jabari Winfrey. And through Jabari and Brian there, I was actually able to be an extra in the movie, and we worked on some music. Actually, it was an extra in the movie, was able to be an extra in the movie, so got to fly out to California. That was a big deal at the time, and go on the set of Universal Studios and get on the lots and go back and, you know, get to see the whole ins and outs of, you know, the movie-making process. So while we were out there, we got to hear some of the different music that was being played in the movie and what was going on. So when we returned back to Atlanta after our small roles in the movie, we said to ourselves, hey, man, you know, your brother is the director in this movie. Let's actually put a song together to try to see, you know, if we can maybe get a placement in that. So we put a song together, and everyone loved it and enjoyed it. We sent it out, and everything worked out, so we got a placement in that movie. And so that's actually not on the soundtrack of that movie, but on the score of that, so it's being played throughout the movie.
Oh, I loved Idlewild, too. That was a great movie. Love that. I have another phone call for you, and this call is coming from Seeing Heart in the chat room. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hi, this is Seeing Heart. So really, my name is Doran Wright. I just want to say that I heard the other caller talk about playing it to children that she worked with that are blind. I'm also blind, and I was listening to your music, and it made me cry. It touches me.
I know. This is beautiful.
In a way that is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Mm. I love it. So whatever you're doing, don't change it. Don't change a thing. It's fantastic music.
I appreciate that. For so long, you know, I've played, you know, for so long as, you know, different musicians, you practice and practice. So with songs, like I said, with songs that I'm really, really enjoy and really feel or have some meaning to, I mean, when I sit back and just close my eyes and play, and that's really what I did with that song was just, you know, I knew how the verses went, and I kind of have had a feeling of what was going on, but I said, hey, I just want to go ahead and play this how I feel it. And so that was the take that came out, and I went ahead and kept that take. So I really appreciate that. That's definitely what I was feeling on that song. So that's what came out, and that's what was recorded, and we hit stop and just stayed with it.
I'm so glad that you will, because it is a blessing to me and to everyone. But for people like me we see the world through what we hear and what we touch. There's something about your music that allows me to feel like I'm totally involved and engaged. So don't change it. It is awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Doreen.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right, let's get back to some music. The next song, The Way She Moves. Tell me about this one.
This is definitely an original of mine here. I was in Atlanta with a good friend of mine, and was trying to give a vibe of somewhat of a Latin vibe, somewhat of a R&B kind of vibe in the music. Always try to play, again, aggressively and songs to move, you know. I always tell friends, you know, I want to play music that's not going to put you to sleep. You know, I want you to relax,
mm-hmm,
I don't want you to fall asleep. So this was definitely a song that I said, hey, let's just have fun with it. It was more of a Latin vibe in it, and he came over with the track, and we just fooled around with it for a little while. And he also plays trumpet in there, so we put a little trumpet in the track, and we got this vibe. So this song is actually not completely finished, but this is what we have so far. So The Way She Moves.
Okay, now The Way She Moves and The Lady in My Life are on what CD?
The Lady in My Life is on the Flute Remixes Volume 2, okay. The promotional CD, and The Way She Moves is on More Than Music.
More Than Music. All right, this is The Way She Moves. The Way She Moves, another beautiful song from Brandon Marcells. I know, isn't it nice? Just beautiful music.
That was nice. And that was nice. I love that beat, man. That beat was hot.
That's Mark C. Yeah, that's a good friend of mine in Atlanta, and he's a producer there in Atlanta. Been producing for a while. He's actually in architectural school at the moment, but we've connected. Whenever we get together, we always just try to sit back and vibe out, and that was definitely like a nice dance kind of vibe and kind of Latin vibe. We did that maybe a couple years ago at the end of summer, and it was just a really nice groove. So,
all right. Now, I have a question from the chat room. Carol would like to know if your music is available on iTunes.
Everything's not really officially out just yet. I'm completely working on all of that. And that's, again, like I said, I was in Atlanta for probably about 8 years down in Atlanta, and everything was working pretty well, doing
you know, teaching lessons and out on the scene trying to, you know, make my name out for myself and hitting open mics and whatnot, and actually came back up to Michigan for a couple of years to kind of visit with family because, you know, things were really getting hectic in Atlanta. Things were getting, you know, up and down, you know, the starving artist kind of a scenario. So just being now, you know, that's why I'm really trying to press these CDs and really promote for myself and really get out there to try to get some management together, get a team together, really try to take this thing and, you know, move it forward. So it's definitely a fun journey, you know, in the process of doing these things because I'm learning all the ins and outs and all the ups and downs and whatnot, what to do's and what not to do. So it's just a journey with the music, but it's something that I'm definitely passionate about. So I'm just looking forward. I'm hoping to really get some music all together and really get everything pressed out to have something out before the year is over.
Okay. I read that you're looking for band members. Are you still looking?
Oh, yeah. I've been going around. You know, I play. I do a lot of different playing, and, you know, I play different, you know, tracks that are set up and or sit in with different bands. But I'm really trying to get my own sound out there, you know, and really get a live production out there. It's so much more fulfilling, you know, joining with other members and playing along with other band members to me that the energy and just the whole stage presence is definitely way much more fulfilling and that is, you know, the epitome of what I would love to be doing is, you know, playing with other instrumentalists on stage and just enjoying yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now would you consider moving back to Atlanta or to another state, I guess, to try to find a better opportunity for yourself?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the sky is the limit. You know, with family and friends, you know, you want to back at home enjoy your family and friends. But as a career goes, you know, I would love to travel the world seven times, times seven. So going to any city, to any place in the world, I mean, I would love to do that to play and you know, and put myself in a better position to be there. Actually, I have some family in New York that I've been working with that is somewhat that does some more that's more in the business side of the music and licensing of music. So I've been in contact with her and just trying to make those networking connections right now to say, hey, this is what I can do, and, you know, is there a spot for me here? Or, you know, it's definitely enjoyable hearing these compliments here on the show today to say that, hey, this is a sound that's out there that people are enjoying. So I just look forward to progressing this.
All right. Now, earlier I mentioned that you are Atlanta's Future of Jazz finalist. Tell me about this. Was that a talent show?
Yeah, that was like I guess you could kind of call it a talent show. Each year in Atlanta, you know, there's the Atlanta Jazz Festival. So for a while there was a group who was, I believe, led by Tammy Allen that hosted the Future of Jazz competition each winter, to the winner of the show could participate in the Jazz Festival there in Atlanta. So there were different categories, contemporary jazz and straight-ahead jazz and the different categories, but I was a finalist in the contemporary jazz format. So we all were able to meet up at Sambuca Cafe, which was down in Atlanta, and perform there that evening for, you know, a panel of judges as well as the audience there. So I was a finalist there in the top three. I didn't actually win to go on stage, but it was definitely a wonderful experience. And was just an awesome experience to be able to play and get my music heard that evening.
Yes, definitely. And top three is not too bad. That's not too bad. A question from the chat room. Seeing Heart would like to know if you are going to be at the Smooth Jazz Awards in Chicago.
Right now, I don't have any plans set to attend that awards. It was something that I would love to, but I don't have any plans set to attend that at this time.
Okay. All right. Well, Mike, do you have any more questions?
No, right now, no. Just, I guess, get to some more of that hot music.
Okay, actually, I do have one more question. You said that you played at nightclubs, weddings, funerals, bars, restaurants, anywhere that they have live music, and the venue doesn't really matter. Now, have you ever played an event for free to get exposure?
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm out constantly wanting to perform. You know, at this point in time, you know, I would love for music to be financially supporting me. You know, that's really not the drive behind it. Again, I just love to get out there and perform and be heard and be seen and get this instrument out there. Again, you know, I want children to see that, you know, especially here in my town. In Jackson, Michigan is a more of a smaller town, smaller community, where you don't really get to see a lot of the and they're making definitely large moves towards it, but you don't get to see a lot of instrumentalists and a lot of different things that happen that go on in the larger city. So to be able to get out and play in any venue anywhere, I definitely want to get out and perform and you know, just let the youth and let the community just, you know, see what's going on. You know, with so much with music being bumped out of schools and out of different programs, music has definitely been played a huge role in my growing up and in my life, so I definitely want to share that as often as possible.
Well, Marcel, you play beautiful, beautiful music, and much continued success for you. Please let us know when More Than Music comes out. We would love to have you back on and do an online listening party for that.
I'd love to be back. Thank you for having me. Thanks, Mike, for joining in. Appreciate it. And hope the Cowboys hang on this year.
That's right. Oh, man.
Oh, gosh. Thank you so much, Marcel. It has been such a pleasure talking to you, and the music is just beautiful. And definitely we will be following you for sure.
I appreciate it very much. So I just ask all the listeners and anybody out there, definitely go by BrandonMarcel.com and sign the guest book and pass my name along if you're able to any managers or band members or anyone that could help me move forward. I'd really appreciate it.
All right. Well, I am going to close the show with the last song, Unthinkable. But I want to thank everyone in the chat room for tuning in. Thank you so much. Thanks to Andrew and Doreen for calling in with your questions. Thank you so much. Brandon, just tell me a little bit about this song, Unthinkable.
Unthinkable is actually one of Alicia Keys' singles that was a big smash hit this year. I'd play around, go around to a lot of different venues and play, and everyone would start to realize that, hey, he's playing some of these songs that are out. So I would get such a large response from this song, Alicia Keys, and this is Unthinkable, so I decided to go ahead and record it and found it pretty good. So this is the straight cover of Alicia Keys' Unthinkable.
All right. Tomorrow we will be talking to singer Lynn Fidmont. That is 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. So you want to tune in for that. You have been listening to Talking Smooth
Thursday,
Jazz.
This Thursday. Talking about this upcoming Thursday.
Thursday. Go ahead.
No, I was saying,
go ahead, Mike.
This Thursday we got Will Downing coming on this Thursday. So I'll let you guys tune in tomorrow night for Lynn and this Thursday for Will. And that's it. And follow us on Twitter. So.
<You're> so
don't forget that.
You've been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen.
Hey, Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to Talking Smooth Jazz with you tomorrow night. Again, Brandon, thank you so much. This is Unthinkable. Brandon, are you still there?
I'm here.
Mike Phillips asked for your phone number. Is it okay if I give it to him?
Most definitely.
Okay.
Most definitely.
Okay, I will do that. All right. Okay. Well, thank you again for coming on. We really appreciate having you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good day.
Thank you so much, Terry. I really appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye.